it's on the way out, please stop by the table and or stop us on the way out, and we'll certainly do our best to answer any questions. I won't preach very long tonight. I promise you that if you ask more questions, I won't preach that long. So now I can't turn around and preach for an hour, because then you'd be like, well, don't ever bring this guy back. Why do we support him anyway? He doesn't do what he says. So let's just read a couple of verses here tonight, and I just want to share with you something that God laid on my heart, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 8, let's read in verse number 26, and we're going to read a couple of verses, and we're going to skip a few verses and then see what the Lord has for us. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Let's go down to verse number 34. The Bible says, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed, he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went back up, and he went up, into the ship, and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus, sending him away, saying, return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we could spend in your word. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the ministry in Brazil and what you've been doing there. God, thank you for the questions. God, I pray that you would bless our time in the word as we look to see what you would have for us tonight. Lord, help me, empty me of any self, any sin, fill me with your spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Very quickly tonight, I just want to point out a thought that comes to me from this passage. You know, rejection is a funny thing. It's difficult when you're told no. My children do not like to be told no. My son does not like to be told no in particular. You know, when he's got an idea that he wants to do something and mom says no or dad says no, he can kind of get this little attitude. You know, I don't want to do it. But that we're all that way, right? I mean, in life, we don't like to be told no. We don't like to be denied. Well, in this passage, we have a grown man, who was denied from doing something that none of us would ever imagine you would be denied from doing. We have a man here who is denied from the opportunity to walk with Jesus. Stop and think about that for a second. How many times in Scripture do you see Jesus Christ calling people to follow him? You see it over and over again, at least 15 times we have recorded in the gospel. And I'm sure in the 3.5 year ministry where Jesus was walking, it had to have been hundreds of times that he would look at people and he would say, follow me, follow me, follow me. Well, in this situation, we have a man who says, Lord, I want to follow you. And God says, no, you can't. Go back home. You know, I think for a lot of us, if we talk about missions, I could stand here and I could preach a message and I could tell each one of you that God wants you to surrender your life, that God wants to use you on the mission field, and that you should surrender tonight to go to the mission field. And some of us may feel like, well, you know what? God's not calling me to the mission field. I know that that's not what he has for me, so I have no responsibility. This is good, man. See, he's good. Man, God's really going to call somebody tonight. Man, he's really preaching hard, and somebody needs to listen to that, but not me. Because I know that God hasn't called me there. Well, in this passage tonight, I want to show you three things very quickly that happened with this man. And the the denial that Jesus Christ gives to him. The first thing that we see here is we see a terrific conversion. You know what's happening in this passage. I'm not going to take the time to go all the way back through it. We have a man who is possessed of demons. The Bible says of this man that he roamed the countryside, that they would try to put him in chains, that they would try to bind him, that they would try and keep him in a place, and he would pull the chains off, he would break the chains, he'd run around with no clothes on, he lived in the tombs. This guy was a mess. But the Bible says that when he met Jesus, everything changed. And you know what? That's the case with all of us. You know, we can look at our lives and we realize that before we met Jesus, we were a mess. And some of us, even after we met Jesus, we're still a mess. Because some of us are just, and I would say all of us know, that this nice person that we portray when we walk into church with all dressed up in a suit, smelling nice, that we know that that's not the person that we really are. And we know that in our hearts, we need Jesus to straighten up our lives. And that's exactly what happened in the life of this man. And you know what? The honest to goodness truth is, every conversion is awesome. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was saved at 6 years old, and I don't have one of these awesome testimonies about how terrible I was before Jesus Christ met me. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that the day that God saved me, He not only saved me of all my past sins, He saved me of all my present and future sins. And listen, I'm thankful for that because God knew who He was getting the day that He got me, and He chose to save me anyway, and I'm thankful for that. Every conversion is awesome because the point of the conversion is not who the person was, but who the person is that changed them. And Jesus Christ is the amazing Savior of the world. And there was a terrific conversion here. Why? Because this man was doing something that nobody ever could have imagined. He wasn't up going and preaching the gospel. This man who was demon-possessed, who was running through the tombs, was clothed and sitting in his right mind. You know, isn't that the testimony that we all have? Jesus straightened me out up here. You know, I know that I'm not the person that I need to be, but I'm not the person that I was, and my mind has changed about this thing called sin. I don't want to do those things anymore. I don't want to go those places anymore. Why? Because now I'm in my right mind that I've met Jesus. And listen, maybe you're here tonight and you haven't met Jesus. Maybe you don't know Him as your Savior. Let me tell you, He needs to straighten you out up here first. You may listen to a lot of these things that pastor preaches that you hear in the church when a deacon or anybody else is preaching. You may say, why would anybody want that? And the reason is the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. The Bible says that first thing God has to do is straighten out your mind, and then He can straighten out your life. You know, that thought of, oh man, you know what? I just need to get some things right before I come to church. I need to get some things right before I come to Jesus. The truth is, you can't get anything right until Jesus gets you right, because He's got to get your mind right. There was a terrific conversion here, but not only a terrific conversion. Look with me in verse number 35. The Bible says, then they went out to see what was done. The whole country comes out. Because the Bible says the men that were feeding the pigs went and told the whole country. And the Bible says that they come and they see this man clothed and seated, sitting in his right mind. And the Bible says at the end of that verse, and they were what? Afraid. They were terrified. The Bible says in verse number 37, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. Listen. There was a terrific conversion, but there was a terrified countryside. Why is that? Because people get afraid when God starts working. It's amazing how it works. This world is terrified of what God can do. Why? That's because they know if God gets involved, things change. And that's the reason that our world today, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Our world today looks and says, get God out of the schools, get Him out of the government, get Him out of everything, because if God gets involved, things are going to change. And they're terrified because they love the things they do, they love the way they live, and they say, if we can just keep Jesus out, we can go on and be comfortable. And listen, they've even convinced us as Christians. Well, I don't know if I can talk about Jesus on the job. I don't know if it's not politically correct to talk about Jesus. I mean, I don't want to bother somebody. I don't want to wake them up. I don't want to do this. They've got us convinced that we should keep our mouth shut about Jesus. Why? Because they're terrified, so they end up telling us, hey, if you say something, you're going to be in big trouble. Why? Because they say, we don't want that Jesus. Not because He's bad, but because we like the way things are. And they come and they say, well, wait a minute, if Jesus is doing this with this guy, what does he want to do in the rest of our area? What's it going to mean for our bars that are selling alcohol? What does it mean for the guys that are making money off of these religions? If Jesus comes here, there's going to be a lot of people without jobs. We got to get him out of here. So they're terrified. Why? Because there's always an impact when Jesus comes in. And a lot of people are afraid of that impact. We see a terrified countryside that looks and says, hey, you know, we don't want Jesus. Please just go. And you know what the amazing thing to me is? The amazing thing to me is that the Bible says at the end of verse number 37, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Listen very closely. If you don't want Jesus, Jesus isn't going to force himself on you. A lot of people would have expected Jesus to call down fire from heaven and say, you're rejecting me. I'm coming in. There's people that need this. You can't force me out of here. Jesus got up and he said, if you want me to go, I'll go. You know, it's amazing to me that Jesus would have that approach. If you don't want me, I'll go. But you know what? I don't think it works that way just with unsaved people. I think he does the same thing with saved people. If you don't want me, if you don't want my help, listen, I'm here when you need me, but if you want to leave that Bible on the table, if you want to only hear about me in church, fine, I'll stay over here. See, Jesus is the king of the world, but if you want to lock him in a room, he's not going to force his way out. It's amazing that the Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. Not beating down the door, not forcing his way in the door. He's standing at the door, and when you're ready, he's ready. But if you're not ready, he's not coming. Jesus got back up into the boat. You know why our lives don't change like they should when we meet Jesus? Because we say, Jesus, I want you to get me into heaven. But the rest of my life is kind of under my control. So if you just stay right over there, I'll let you know when I need you. Oh, Lord, I'm in a mess. Lord, I tell you, my life is falling apart. Help me out. And Jesus says, sure, I'll help out. What do you need? And we say, man, God, if you could just fix this relationship, if you could give me a job or give me a car or help me pay this bill. And God says, man, I would love to do that. Man, that's great. And I'm sure he's thinking, man, you know what? This will show them that my power is real, that I can help them in their lives, that they need me. And then when he's done helping us, we say, okay, now go and stand back over there. I'll let you know when I need you the next time. Really? Did you not see what I just did? Yeah, well, I'll get back with you. I've got this. Thank you. They were terrified. They looked and they said, hey, Jesus, I mean, we're happy that this guy isn't crazy anymore, but get out. You're done. Go back to the boat. We'll let you know we need you. Then the Bible says there was a terrified countryside, but look at here in verse number 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. There was a terrific conversion, a terrified countryside, but there was a tremendous challenge. He said, hey, I'm going with you. And Jesus said, no, you're not. What? I don't understand. Jesus, don't you understand that if I go with you back to Jerusalem, to Judea, I can tell everybody about the great things that you've done in my life. Man, what? I tell you, I'll get up and I will tell everybody. I was possessed with demons and Jesus changed me. But you know what? Jesus tells him no. And I've tried to think, why in the world would Jesus tell this guy no? I don't know for sure, but here's the best guess I can come up with. It's the same reason that sometimes God tells us no. Because God knows that what we want to do is not necessarily what he wants us to do. Stop and think about this. This man goes back to Jerusalem, starts telling about how he was demon-possessed. God changed his life. He had been running around in the tombs and nobody could chain him. He would break chains apart. What would you say if you had heard that? Come on, man. What are you talking about? No, for real. If you go across the Sea of Galilee to this town, they will tell you, Jesus, where'd you get this guy from? Are you trying to... You hired him, didn't you? You hired this guy to come with you. That's why nobody's ever seen him. You went all the way to somewhere that nobody's been, and you hired a guy to come and talk about how great you are. Come on, Jesus, you can do better than that. Would anybody have believed his testimony if they hadn't been there? Wouldn't it seem kind of strange? Geez, you've never done this here. Why'd you do it there? Let me tell you something interesting. The most effective place for your testimony to be shown is not in Brazil, because they don't know you. The most effective place for your testimony to be shown is not in North Carolina, because they don't know you. The most effective place for your testimony to be shown is at home, where everybody knows you. Well, but Pastor, if you're going out door knocking, I'd love to go and knock on 10 doors of people who have never met me before. Well, instead of knocking on those doors, why don't you talk with the person at your job? Well, I can't do that, Pastor. Hold on now. I can't do that. Those people know me. And they know what I said last week. And they know I can't do that, Pastor. Well, why don't you invite your neighbors? Well, Pastor, they live next door to me. They hear us shouting and partying and doing all that stuff. I can't. But man, if we go to some people who don't know me, I'll do great. This man could be most effective among the people who couldn't argue about the change in his life. At home. Jesus says, go home and tell those people who know who you were how God has changed you. Why? Because nobody can argue with that. The Bible says, and he went his way and published throughout the whole city. And the Bible says in the parallel passage in Matthew, and throughout the region of Decapolis, the great things which God had done unto him. Interesting. Jesus left. Jesus left, and then a few months later, the Bible says that Jesus went back through Decapolis. You know what's interesting? The Bible says when Jesus went back, it says that they were all waiting for him. Why do you think that is? I think that this man took his job seriously. And the people who had previously kicked him out, when he came back, said, well, if he can do that in the life of this man, maybe he can do it in our town, in our city. Maybe he can do it in my life. Maybe he can do it in your life. Jesus said, go home. But this guy didn't say, man, thank you, Lord. I was wanting to stay at home anyway. I got my cable TV. I've got my friends. I've got my restaurants that I like. Thank you, Lord, that you let me. He said, no. God told this man to stay at home and show, not tell, show the great things that God has done. That's the same call that we have. God may never call you to mission field. That doesn't mean God didn't call you. If you're called to Tucson, Arizona, you're still called. And God wants to use your life and my life to show to those people right around us the great things that God has done unto us. Make it a point to go home, to go to work, to go to school, to go in your neighborhood, and show the people the difference that Jesus can make. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. God, I pray that you would help us. Lord, pray that you would help us each and every day to not just talk about you, but to show with our lives the great change that you've made. God, I believe that there's many, many, many people here in this area that you want to reach with your word. And Lord, I believe that you've put every single one of the people necessary to reach this community inside this church. God, help us to be busy. Help us to realize that those interactions are important. Lord, there may be some of us that say, I've already messed up my testimony. Lord, help us to go back and to apologize to those people and to tell them that we are different even though we're still sinners, that we've been saved by grace. God, I pray that if there's people that we haven't shared the gospel with, that you would put it on our hearts to go and tell them. God, you have us here because you want us to use, you want to use us. So God, help us to be diligent and busy about your work. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Let's think about the challenge that we just received. Brother Leland, thank you, Brother Leland. I appreciate the blessing there and encouraging us from the slides and DVD, but most importantly, from the Word of God. You know, that's a great challenge, showing to those that we know the best. Many of you have heard my testimony, how I got saved, and that's exactly what God called me to do, go right back to my job and reach the people that I work with. And, brother, they thought I was crazy. They thought I had flipped my lid. But in time, they saw something real, something that really he believes. And folks did get saved as a result. Now think about that person or persons that you know that does not know that you're a Christian. That's the one person that needs to know that you are a Christian. And I was just talking with a guy just not long ago, and he told me he was a Christian. And as I was talking with him, he let out a couple of choice curse words. Then he said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. And I just looked at him. Why did he say that? Because he knew that there was something different about me, even though he said he was a Christian. No, it didn't kind of go along with the Christian walk. Who do you know that does not know that you know Christ? That's who needs to know. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a relative. You never know who it is that needs to see Christ in you. It's amazing. Jesus said, no, you can't go with me. Go home. Why? That's where the mission field is. Brother Fred is set to go back home. That's exactly what he's going to be doing, going home to people that he knows, to share Christ with them. Think about it. Who do you work with? Who do you know that does not know that you're a Christian? But you know them, and they know you. Perhaps it's time to let them know more about who you serve. Let them know you're a Christian. Give them a track. Invite them out. You never know what impact it may have. Many, many people, I'm sure, heard about this guy being in the tombs with demons. Many, many more heard about him being with Christ. And they saw a difference. Let people see a difference in you. Father, help us now to go and make a difference. In the Tucson area, there are people that need to know about the change that's been in our lives, the conversion that's happened. Oh, they may tell us to be quiet. They may tell us to go away. Lord, they need to hear. And Lord, it is a tremendous challenge to talk to people that we know that know us. Lord, help us have the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God and the compassion to go and tell them what happened and why. He never told us to save anyone. He just told us to share and to show the great things that God has done. Lord, help us to leave here with some choice people in our minds and our hearts, perhaps giving them a track, perhaps giving them an invitation, praying about the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. They might be saved. Thank you for the reminder that we need on a continual basis about sharing who we have with those that we're around and help them, Lord, to get saved just like we're saved. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Help us to leave here differently than we came in. Lord, more on fire for souls around us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Thank you for our Brother Leland. Let's give Brother Leland a hand. Amen, our missionary. Aren't you glad that he didn't speak in Portuguese? Because